I'm just a poor wayfaring stranger, traveling through this world below. Lord, I swear there's no pain, I know there's no danger in that bright world to which I go.
Welcome to this podcast from Faith Bible Church in Reno, Nevada. Faith Bible Church is a Christ-centered, Bible-teaching ministry dedicated to bringing the good news of the gospel to the whole world. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And now, for this week's message.
This morning, welcome Clarence Brooks again. And he's going to be filling in for Pastor Allen. Clarence, I'll let you take over.
Good morning. It is a blessing to be here this morning. We'll be in the Gospel of John, the 19th chapter and the 30th verse. I just have one verse, and there'll be many verses throughout this message, but this one verse, and it's the Gospel according to St. John, the 19th chapter and the 30th verse. And it says that when Jesus therefore received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, doing, understanding, obedience unto his holy word. Our subject this morning of our message is evidence left at the cross. And just that background and just the song about the cross. You know, sometimes we gather and congregations and sometimes have an issue with speaking about the blood and speaking about the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on our behalf to bring us back into the presence of God. But we, as believers in Christ Jesus, should be able to grasp the fact that Christ had to come to pay a price for our transgressions, and realizing that we have missed the mark. And so we always want to speak about the blood. And it is the blood that washes us and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And so we want to look at this evidence left at the cross this morning. Now, Shelley and I, years ago, I was a football coach here at Reed High School for many years. And so Shelley's dad was a football coach in Douglas County, Douglas High School, and also in Kansas. And so we're just sports people. And we have been blessed at Second Baptist. We have quite a few young people from the university, football players, basketball players, and college students that have been faithful in serving and coming to Second Baptist. And so we try to support our young people. And so after the football game, Shelly and I always, we wait outside the locker room so when our young people come out, whether win, lose, or draw, that we just encourage them. You know, when they see us in our arena in the church, we need to be seen in their arena, you know. And so we make it a point, we wait out there, and sometimes it's cold. Those night games are so cold. But we want to wait out there, and we want to encourage them, win, lose, or draw, that they did their best. But when the games are televised, we're going to the car, we walk by these TV trucks, and you look inside, and there's all these computers and all these cords and all, everything that it takes to do a TV production. And so I think about that when we look at the cross this morning, and that Jesus had died such a cruel death, and Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus had come to ask Pilate for his body, and as they took Jesus off the cross, there was evidence that was left at the cross that we can take heart for us this morning, and every obstacle and every bit of evidence that I'm going to share with you this morning, I need. I don't know about you, but I pray that you can take it to heart and that you can take it home and that you can apply it to your daily living, because it's helping me, the things that I need to do, because I haven't reached that point yet, and so God is still at work in my life. So I pray that this evidence that was left at the cross that I'm going to share with you this morning will help you in your way, in your Christian walk. And the first evidence that was left at the cross was Jesus' blood. Luke, the 22nd chapter, verses 19 and 20, these words are recorded. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. The cross was stained with Jesus' blood that would only satisfy God's wrath on mankind. We know that during the Old Testament time, God required blood to atone for mankind's sins and transgressions of the Israelites. But we know that the blood only covered their sins. But when Jesus came, when they nailed him to the cross, that was the only blood that satisfied God's wrath. We sing a song, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." We see that Jesus' blood ran down from the crown of thorns that they had placed on his head when Pilate had him scourged, and the soldiers took him and they beat him, and they took these thistles and made a crown, and they put it upon his head, and they put a purple robe upon him, and they mocked him. So we see that this blood from the crown of thorns, that it ran upon his head, and it flowed down to his hands, where the spikes that had where he was nailed to the cross, where he had been, his body had been pierced, and it flowed down to his feet, where the nails connected his feet to the cross. So we see that Jesus' blood was left at the cross. The next evidence that we see that was left at the cross for us this morning is forgiveness. Luke, the 23rd chapter and the 34th verse. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Even as they parted his clothing as keepsakes, Jesus looked at the people that rejected him, those who nailed him to the cross, those who turned him over, those who had rejected his words about the kingdom of God. He still looked upon them with compassion and forgiveness. We are carrying some unforgiveness. I'm talking to myself this morning. We are carrying some unforgiveness in our hearts that we just need to let go. If Christ could forgive mankind for his position on that cross, after all the beatings, the scourgings, the rejecting, certainly we can learn how to forgive our brothers and our sisters. I'm still working on that. I don't know about you, but I'm still working on forgiveness. For Jesus has shown us how to forgive and relinquish all to our Heavenly Father. That's what he did. He gave it all to the Father. And that's what we need to do. We need to just give it all to the Lord. And say, Lord, fix me. Give me a forgiving heart. Help me to get along with those who have hurt me. And help me to accept the fact and seek the forgiveness of those whom I've hurt. It's a two-way street. So we see that there was forgiveness that he left at the cross. The next evidence that he left at the cross, we talked about that today in Sunday school. Humility. Humility. John 10, 10th chapter in the 17th and 18th verse says, therefore doeth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment I received of my Father, humbling himself to be used by his Father, was key in Jesus' mission on earth. He came down here to do the will of the Father, even though he knew what it would cost him. He gladly, in obedience, came down and made a great sacrifice. He humbled himself, knowing that in due season, his Father would exalt him. And so that gives us hope today. So knowing that when we humble ourselves, when we lower ourselves, in due season, God will elevate us and put us in a right relationship, in a right position with him. Our trouble is that we struggle with being humble. Somebody says something to us we don't like, and we rear up. But God, Christ showed us how to be humility, how to walk in humbleness in spite of our circumstances. The next evidence left at the cross was that crown jewel for mankind, and that was redemption. He redeemed us. In Luke, the 19th chapter, in the 10th verse, we read, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's good news for us. Because the song that says, amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. And I have a history that I know that God redeemed me, and he bought me with his precious blood. He redeemed me. And I see that Jesus was on his way down to Jerusalem when he passed through Jericho. And there was a tax collector there by the name of Zacchaeus. And there was a crowd that were following Jesus. And the only way that they said that Zacchaeus was a short man in stature, he was a hated man, being a tax collector. And maybe some of you guys can relate, y'all can relate. It's tax time now, and we have to be accountable for that which we've earned. But Zacchaeus was a hated man. And the only way that he could see Jesus was to climb that sycamore tree. And it just by nothing is by accident. So we see there was a divine appointment that Christ had for Zacchaeus that day. And that as he was walking through, if you can see the picture, that Jesus just looked up and says, come on down from there, Zacchaeus, for today I must dine at your house. And that he went in, and Zacchaeus, I see him, he invited all of his co-workers, if you will, all his friends, to hear the gospel. And as evidence, Zacchaeus received the gospel. And you know, sometimes that's our responsibility, that we need to let people see Jesus, let him see him more in our lives, in our actions, as powerful as the word that we speak. Our pastor years ago says, what we are speaks so loud, I can't hear a word you say. So people are looking at us. They want to see Christ in us. That's the greatest witness tool that we have, is to let Christ be seen in our lives. Through his sacrifice that day at Golgotha, Jesus brought us back into the presence of his Father. And that was the only way that mankind could get back into the presence of God, was through the blood and sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you look closely at the word grace, you will see that an acronym and be able to spell out grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. I always say that salvation, the opportunity of salvation, is free. But I say to you today that it came with the price, the precious blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53 and 5 of the King James Version, these words are recorded. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of his peace, of our peace, was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. So we see that redemption, our redemption, was left at the cross as evidence for us this morning. Because Jesus redeemed us and brought us back, we can enter now into God's presence. We come into God's presence with nothing of ourselves but the blood of Jesus. That's all that we come in contact with in the presence of God. That's all we come with. Whatever we own, whatever we have, whatever we may think of ourselves, being prideful as we can get sometimes, we only enter into God's presence through the blood of Christ, which washes away all of our sins and covers us as we walk this earthly walk. And the next evidence on the cross is personal. It's my name. It's your name. Our transgressions, our sins against the holy and righteous God was etched in that cross like a knife that carved our names into the wood that Jesus was lifted up on and crucified. John 12 and 32 says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all mankind unto myself." For Jesus to draw mankind unto himself, he had to be lifted up. There was no way around it. I see Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when he went away from his disciples and he prayed, "Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me." But in the next sentence, he says, "But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." He gave it all to the Father. And that's what we need to do, entrust it all unto the Lord, unto him who's able to keep us from falling, to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. So he capped it off. And so he paid the price. And he gladly laid it down, knowing that he had the power to lay it down. He had the power to pick it up. And the last evidence that he left at the cross for us this morning was a finished assignment. John 19 and 30, our opening text, scripture says, "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." Jesus finished the assignment that the Father had assigned to him. I believe in the Greek it says tetelestai. It means it is finished. Victory. And that they say that during the time that they crucified, they had like a painkiller that they would give to those that they hung on the cross. But Jesus didn't need that. He took the full brunt of all that God had, the Father had placed on him. But that vinegar, I'm told, it just softened him, his mouth, and it let him speak for this powerful word. It is finished. Tetelestai. It is finished. And that he gave up the ghost. But I see Jesus not with a wimpy it's finished, but I see him with a shout of victory. We are victorious in Christ Jesus. And he showed us how to be victorious in every battle that we face, every heartache that we go through, to know that we are victorious in Christ Jesus. Jesus finished the assignment that the Father had assigned him to do. When Jesus breathed his last breath, he finished the work, his work for the opportunity of delivering us was completed. Jesus did for us what we could not and cannot do for ourselves. Our lives are not our own. We were bought with a price. And so I know in our earthly, in this fleshliness, sometimes we can get prideful. If we can be true with ourselves, we get lifted up. We get puffed up. But Jesus completed something that we could not do for ourselves. And we want to finish our assignment. I believe we just don't want to. We shouldn't just want to barely get into heaven. Man, we want to be able to run through knowing the price that Jesus paid for us. Man, when that time comes, man, we want to be galloping. And so we don't want to halfway get there. And neither as followers of Christ, we should do everything, strive to do everything, labor to do everything with excellence. Give our best. Because Christ gave his best. As believers in Jesus, that should excite us this morning. What should excite us is the fact that after 3 days, they took him off that cross, and the price had been paid. But what we can shout about is that third day morning. When death couldn't keep him, and the grave couldn't hold him, and he got up with all power on heaven and earth in his hands, never to taste death again. And we sing an old song that you say, there is a land where we'll never grow old, where every day will be a day of sunshine, and every day will be a day of jubilee. And that's the good news for all those of us who die in Christ Jesus, to reach that land where we'll never, never grow old. So we keep our eyes focused on the resurrection. And though our loved ones go home to be with the Lord, we are thankful for the power of the resurrection. So when we say so long to someone who's crossed over, it's just so long for now. Because one day we'll all be together, gathered around the throne to see him arrayed in all of his glory, our living God. And just at his right side, the one who has been interceding for our behalf, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So what other evidence do we need this morning? I want to close with a story that I found, and my wife bought me a devotional from Billy Graham. And the story goes like this. It says, a loving mother who saved her little girl from a burning house, suffered severe burns on her hands and arms. When the girl grew older, not knowing how her mother's arms had become so scarred, the girl was ashamed of those scarred, snarled hands, and always insisted that her mother wear long gloves to cover the ugliness. But one day the daughter asked her mother how her hands had become so scarred. The mother, for the first time, told her the story of how she had saved her daughter's life with those hands. The daughter wept tears of gratitude and said, "Oh, mother, those are beautiful hands, the most beautiful in the world. Don't ever hide them again." Just so, the blood of Christ may seem to be a grim, repulsive subject to those who do not realize its true significance. But those who have been rescued from sin's chains, Christ's nailed, pierced hands are beautiful beyond measure, for they tell us of his love and his willingness to save us regardless of the cost. So do you need any more evidence this morning? Do we really? Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your gift to mankind. We thank you for what was left at Calvary to remind us of the price that was paid for our salvation. Lord, let us never forget that without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. We thank you that our Christ gladly laid down his life, knowing that he had the power to lay it down and the power to pick it up. And Lord, that's our testimony this morning, that as we go and proclaim the good news that salvation is available to all who are willing to receive it, Lord, let us not shy away from the message. Give us courage. Give us wisdom. Give us direction. Give us boldness, that we may go and share with the world that we know a Savior who died, rose again, ascended, and even now intercedes on our behalf. So we thank you today. Lord, as our pastor would say, seal this message in our hearts, that we may be the godly people that you've called us to be. And in return, we'll be ever so careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory that is so due your holy name. We ask these blessings. We make these petitions known unto thee in the powerful, magnificent, mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whose name is above every name, the name of Jesus. Do we ask these blessings? And for our sakes we pray. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the preaching of God's Word from Faith Bible Church in Reno, Nevada. We hope that it has been an encouragement to you and that the Word of God will fill your hearts and minds as you walk through this world. If you have been blessed by this ministry and would like to make a small donation to help defray the cost of this podcast, just click on the green Support Us button at the top of the webpage. Thank you.